Stuttgart, das Tor ist leer. Alles oder nichts. Das komplette Fleisch ist aus dem Grill, auf dem Grill die Ecke kommt. Und er ist drin! Und er ist drin! Der absolute Wahnsinn! Der VfB Stuttgart bleibt in der ersten Fußball-Bundesliga. Schiebt sich vor.
Welcome to VFB Stuttgart Americana, an American-based English-language VFB Stuttgart fan podcast where reviews are unofficial, uninformed, usually unprepared. I'm your host, Travis. He's your host, Matt. You can reach me at Hazelfish. You can reach him at Sail Racer. Matt, this is episode 94. If you take 9 minus 4, that's 5. That's the amount of matches that Freiburg had beaten us. No more, Matt. The math is on our side. Is this a derby, or as ESPN was calling it, an affair in your mind?
An affair makes it sound kind of dirty. So I'm kind of down with that. I can call it an affair.
That's right. It could be, you know, as my second wife would say, it's an affair. Uh-oh, my first wife's not listening to this right now.
Don't let Karlsruhe know we're fooling around with the boys over in Freiburg.
Honey, I'm just out on a derby. That's all it is. All right, enough of that nonsense. Let's get to some shout-outs. We had 13 of the possible 25 squares for VFB Bingo, Matt. We only needed Fritzl, Christian Genner, or Fabian Vollgemut for this. Of those three, I think I know the answer. Which one of those guys or gals would you want to hang out with?
Oh, Fritzl, hands down.
Because it could be Dino. It could be Kakao. We have no idea who's inside there right now.
Could be anybody. It doesn't matter. I think you put that suit on, you're automatically awesome and wonderful and just a ray of sunshine and hope. And you're way better than a warthog.
I was going to say, random Twitter war we got into with the one and only Karlsruhe fan in the United States. He's trying to tell us that a warthog is better than than Fritzl. So good for you for throwing the hammer down there. Pod predictions, Austin won. Matt, you are just in the lead, though. You've got 16 wins, so you're doing great in this one. How does it feel to be in first when, you know, you've been struggling with this the last couple of years?
It's a nice change. I felt like I came out hot last year and then completely fell in a deep hole of despair, kind of. But no, it's good. I'm maybe starting to understand this the line here and playing it to my advantage.
The OFC Cleveland watch party is in the works. I've reached out to 4 locations and none of them have gotten back to me. So, hey, let's go. The VfB Frauen, nothing there for them. So they're getting ready for their season that's coming up. Former VfB Bears. So we got Mo Sanko and Wahid Fahir scored this weekend for their Bundesliga 2 clubs. Juan Pereira scored, or did not score, but played 90 minutes for Hansa against Hamburg. You know, of those three guys, which one of those are you hoping pans out the most, and will we come back for the Brustring in the near future?
I really liked Juan Pereira when we saw him. We didn't see him much, but when he got on, I felt like he was showing a lot of promise. So I'm really hoping that he does well in his loan spell and can come back and be a dangerous weapon for us.
Yeah, I really wanted Mo Sanko to be the guy, but he just seems to not be in the mix here. So I'm going to go with Juan. There's that great picture of him as a kid actually going to a VFB match years ago. So that'd be awesome if he panned out. In OFC Fantasy Village Footy, congratulations on winning this week. Doug was in second. Youp was in third. So SC Cool Running is in the lead, and Village Footy is in second. If you don't listen to those guys, give them a follow on Twitter. They do a great job. OFC Tip Spiel, VFB Omaha. So Peter, congratulations. He's in first this week. Steven is in second, and Steven and K-Guy are leading in this one. So they're doing great with the Tip Spiel. Remember, if you win, you get the jersey from Sam, the Gregor Kobel goalkeeper jersey. So if you haven't signed up, try and do that. The OFC Man of the Match, 47% of the vote went to Seiru, 20% went to Chris. There was one vote for Sebastian Honus's full head of hair, which is great to see. We haven't escaped that part of it. Matt, who would you have voted for in the OFC poll for man of the match after this amazing 5-0 victory?
It's a tough one to pick between Girassi and Furich, but I think I'd lean Furich on this one just because I felt like he was creating a little more through the midfield, and that's not Girassi's job, so no shade on him for doing that, but I just felt like Chris was a little more involved in the overall gameplay.
Yeah, I was actually going to vote for Alex Neubel for reasons we'll talk about later. Just the first 3 minutes could have gone south. But as somebody who always appreciates a good head of hair, whether it was Bruno, whether it was Sven, come on, I got to like Sebastian's new locks. Those are all the shout outs now, Matt. Did we miss anybody? Anything else you want to throw out there?
I think that's a pretty exhaustive list. You got them all. Well done.
This podcast is only a couple minutes long and it's already exhausting. So here we go, part two. Let's talk about the huge match. So no matter when we play, apparently it's going to be a 5-goal side one way or the other. Going into this one, though, Matt, I took Freiburg to cover in this one. I thought it was going to be like a 1-1, 2-2 draw. In fact, nobody can stop Seiru Girassi at this point. But then I saw that Dr. Felix was going to officiate this one. After this match, we have 15 wins to 23 losses whenever he officiates a match. I was a little nervous when that happened. I was a little nervous just because Freiburg has had our number, like we mentioned earlier. I thought we could get a point, but the result itself surprised me. You were a bit more optimistic. Did you continue that optimism as we headed into Saturday?
I did not. As soon as I saw Breich was officiating the game, I was pretty sure we were screwed.
Well, statistically, you tend to be right on that one.
Math is on my side here. He just, I don't know why, I don't know what it is, but he seems to just consistently punish us with questionable calls every time he officiates a match. And fortunately, we didn't give him any room to do that.
Yeah, thankfully, things went our way right away. I usually get into the lineups, but we're going to skip that really quick here and just get into the game. And I kind of want to break this down into the first 3 minutes versus really the next 87 minutes in this one. And also, I was kind of curious. Dr. Felix added 2 minutes on at the end of a 5-0 match. I'm sure both sides are like, what are you doing? Just blow the whistle at this point.
I'm sure there's some mandate that the officials have been given to, you know, account for X number of things or whatever. And like, you have to add some if a goal is scored or something. But I used to officiate. I did hockey, I did soccer. And the thing with the soccer games was if it was out of hand, if you blew it a couple minutes early, nobody cared.
I definitely got that sense. You know, the Freiburg guys were okay just wrapping this one up here. So the thing I want to start with is the defense, because the first 3-4 minutes of this were pretty hairy. Freiburg had a really nice cross. It seemed like Anton, Dane Axel, maybe even Stenzel were beat on the cross, but Neubel was in the right spot at the 2-minute mark. And then there was a corner, and it looked like Chris was kind of beat on the far post, and there was a weird mix in the box that Alex was able to get a hand on, but then it hit off the post, landed almost right on the line, but was able to recover it. Even Honus said, he's like, we were lucky to get out of there without giving up a goal. Let's talk about the defense just for a second, because it's really the only critical thing that we can talk about today, and that's usually what we focus on. I think it's two things, right? Is one, our defense isn't stellar. But two, Honus has kind of figured out our defense isn't stellar. So we're going to, you know, the old phrase that offense is the best defense. Alex played great. We'll talk about him in a minute. But do you have any concerns about the defense at all? Or am I overreacting a bit?
I'm not super worried yet. The first 3 minutes was terrible. And most of it came down to poor communication between the guys. People weren't in spots where their teammates expected them to be. I don't feel like they've fully got the system worked out yet. I think a big part of that is that Zagadou's our full-time center back with Anton now and not Mavropanos. Mm. And it's not a knock on Daxo. It's just that it wasn't him last year, and it's going to take him some time to settle into being there. And then on top of that, he's got Schiller now in front of him to help out. And I thought Schiller was pretty invisible for most of the game, which is what you want from a defensive midfielder. That's not a bad thing. But Daxo and Stiller are going to have to get used to playing together and get used to the communication, the spacing, and then Daxo and Ito have to have that same thing, and Stiller and Ito, and it's got to become a triangle of pain for other teams. And that's not going to happen overnight. And I feel like Stiller signed his contract and was on the field to play the game before the ink was wet on the paper. So I think they definitely settled down and got their acts together and were playing a lot better. But I'm worried if we have too many more of those rough starts. There was one ball that went off a Freiburg player's hip, and you could just see desperation in his face as he realized no part of his body could propel the ball forward at that moment. And had he been able to, it's easy goal. He had a wide open net. Neubel was had made a save, and then it bounced off of something, and he had no chance. And just we got real lucky.
Yeah, I think one of the things that concerned me and why I'm so happy with the 6 points and the three matches that we played is that one of the big things that you, I, and Rob have always talked about is the lack of consistency, especially on the defensive end, just with the lineup. And why I was so excited going into this season, because it seemed like we were going to have almost the same lineup we had as the previous season. We haven't had that since 2019, 2020, really. And then everybody went away and we're like, oh God, here it goes. So I do think there's something to be said for there's that communication that still has to take place. But I want to pivot and talk about Alex Neubel. He had three saves right away. Then right around the 42nd minute mark or so, he had another save to make it 3-0 going into half instead of 3-1. If it's 3-1 at that point, I think we're all kind of gripping a little bit, and it's a different game going into the second. Sebastian Hona said this, quote, "We have to be happy that we're not behind. Alex saved us from that," end quote. I think it's interesting because with Alex, he had that really good match against Bochum, but we're like, eh, it's Bochum. And really, he didn't do much against Bochum, to be quite honest. And then he had a good start against Leipzig, and then everything fell apart. He played really well in that first half, and that's why I was going to vote for him for man of the match, because I think he helped set up what happened later. Because had we let up a goal early, I think that whole game kind of changes. What I liked about what Alex did is that he did what the scouting report said, is that on crosses and free kicks and corner kicks, that's his strength. And that seemed to be where we were really weak last year. He was positioned really well on that first shot, and then he was able to put himself in positions to make some saves on the other two shots. And I don't think Flo Mueller is that decisive. And so I want to give some love to Alex, because he had a really rough one last week. He owned it, but I thought he did a really nice job to catapult us into what is going to be just a great win, you know, by the time the 90 minutes is up.
Yeah. And I said last week that I didn't feel like the game against Leipzig was all, we couldn't hang that on him. There was a lot of defensive breakdowns in front of him. And I was really anxious to see how he would come back. With a young goalkeeper like that, you're looking for confidence issues. You're looking for him just getting in his own head and overthinking things. And we didn't see that at all. And those couple saves he made in the first 3 minutes, as you said, absolutely clutch. And if any of those go the other way, we could have been down, what, 2-3 nothing within 5 minutes. And that would have been devastating. And so Neubel played really, really well. I love, I'm glad you brought up the corners and set pieces. That was something that I was harping on Mueller about endlessly, about how the keeper's got to command their box and has to be the field general to line the defense up and to set the team up to defend against whatever it is the attackers are doing. And Mueller just did not do that, did not own his space, did not communicate with his defenders. And I feel like we're seeing a lot more confidence and poise out of the very young Neubel than we did out of Mueller. And that's awesome, because we really need that with this inexperienced defensive core we have in front of them. You know, Anton and Stenzel, I guess, are the only guys who have really had significant time back there. Zagadou has been injured his entire career. And Ito's kind of been bouncing around between defensive mid, and he's kind of new at this defensive left back full-time thing. So there's a lot for him to do, and he's doing it seemingly with very little issue.
What I really liked is that how many matches last year, I can't even remember, that did we give up a goal in the first 10 minutes?
All of them.
They're all 34. And it wasn't all Florian's fault. I don't want to put that on him. But this was a classic match where you're like, oh, we're so psyched up. We're ready to see where we stack up. And 3 minutes in, yeah, we're already down a goal. So that didn't happen here, which I liked. Like you said, is, you know, Florian's highs were very high, right? But his lows were pretty low. And that's why when Bredlow came in, he was just steady. And it seems like with Alex, hopefully we've got a little combination of the highs with Mueller and the steadiness with Bredlow. And that'll kind of catapult the defense to have a lot more confidence going forward. So let's jump to the offense here and let's jump to Chris Furich. And I love, somebody said this on Twitter, he's a poor man's Aaron Robin. So if you don't know who Robin is, he played for the Netherlands. He played for Bayern Munich. He had apparently one, he was a winger, right? I think he was a right winger, if I remember correctly. He had one move, but his move was so good, nobody could stop it, even if they knew it was coming. We joke all the time about Chris Furich and how he's got that one move. He cuts, goes left, then goes right, then cuts inside. Even the announcer said it during the match on that first goal. He didn't even pick his head up. He just shot it. We mock the guy. We make fun of the guy, but the guy's been on a great run of form really since the end of last year. He had the 8-minute goal. Then he had the 62nd-minute goal. One was from Angelo. One was from Wu Yang. Let's talk Chris Furich a little bit. I don't know if he's actually an Aaron Robin type, but he is playing lights out of late.
I think the poor man's Aaron Robin comment is hilarious and pretty spot on right now. He's got the fake left, go right thing. And I saw him make the move and I saw the head stay down. And I was like, oh God. And then he found the hole. It was a seeing eye shot. And it's like a basketball game where you see a guy that doesn't normally hit a lot of three-pointers hit like two or three in a row. And then his teammates are just feeding him the ball to see what's going to happen. And as long as he's making them, they keep throwing it to him. And Furich is that guy. He doesn't bang home a lot of these, but he's on fire now. And it's so fun to see and to see how it's impacting his game. He's always been a work hard, try hard, you know, digger of a player. And now he's doing that and he's finding success with it. And I feel like it's giving him and the team more energy and it's just building and building and building. And it's really, really fun to see somebody who works as hard as Furich does get some good success.
I mean, even if he only has that one move, if he does that move, everybody who guards him, they must know this is the one thing this dude can do. Mm-hmm. But if you do it that well, I mean, it's hard to stop. And the thing that's crazy is he's taking attention a little bit away from the guy that we're going to spend a little bit of time to talk about, Seiru Guirassy, who is just the hero of the day. He scored in the 17th minute, kind of out of nowhere. And then he had a 19th minute. Just I disagreed with the announcer who said, well, you know, he really didn't have to do much. I don't know. I watched that a lot this weekend. Even my wife is like, what are you doing? I was like, honey, we don't win 5-0 all the time. She's like, you won 5-0 last. I was like, oh, okay, maybe you're right. But he had to position his shin in a particular way to get that in. He could have easily shanked that. So he had one assist from Silas, even more beautiful assist from Hiroki Ito. He was the kicker player of the week, of all the matches. Here was a quote they had. He's as busy as a bee on the lawn, always a nuisance factor, and looking for the sweet golden form of goals. A lot of metaphors there. Aside from that, Seiru is as shy as a deer. Except for platitudes, little or nothing can be elicited from the Frenchman. 27-year-old lets the numbers do the talking. He has scored 11 goals in 22 Bundesliga games last year. And this one, he already has 5 after 3. Only 2 other strikers have been better this early in Vapi history. Martin Harnik and Kakao, which is probably the only time those two have ever been mentioned in the same sentence. We do it every week since he's been here. Seiru Guirassy, I'll give you the floor. I mean, not only was he scoring goals, he was trying to assist goals. His hold-up play was fantastic. What else can you say about this guy?
He has completely changed how our attack works. And like we were just talking about Furich and his one move, he did a slight variation of that in the first game where he faked left, he went right, his head was down, but instead of shooting, he passed to Guirassy. And if he can do that, and defenses now have to decide, is Furich going to shoot or is he going to pass? That opens up a world for Chris Furich. And Guirassy just being there and being a threat and being a reliable threat and not a guy who's going to harnick it over the net every time he gets a shot or have half of his balls go wide like we've had guys in the past or just, you know, bottle it into a defender, he's legit dangerous up there. And yeah, like you mentioned, the shin position, the angling and stuff, he's so good at that. He got the one goal. He was flying through the air and the cross came in and went off of his leg, and he had to figure out a way to stop before going through the back of the net. And it just, the physical, like the self-awareness and self-control that he has in order to be able to do those things is phenomenal. And that he's playing so unselfishly and opening up opportunities for other people. It's, I feel like we've really hit a jackpot with this guy and had no idea what he was when he came. And we were all kind of like shrugging, and he's the best thing that could happen to this team right now.
I love talking to Jeff, who is the Cologne supporter here. He hates it because when Seiru was with them, they basically shipped him out of town. And I think that explains one of the reasons that Seiru is happy to stay here, at least through January and hopefully longer, is he was shipped out of Cologne. And it was kind of an embarrassing situation where they needed scores. He couldn't do it there. And then he really didn't take off in his native France, where the club he played for there. And he was on the bench when we picked him up. And the system is basically designed around him. He's getting all this love. So in one sense, I can understand why people are like, wait, why do you want to stay with Stuttgart? On the other sense, you alluded to this last week, is he hasn't had any love from any club or really in any fan base, it seems like, since he's, I don't know,
ever.
Right. So he's probably soaking this up a little bit. I mean, he's playing for the national team, his national team now. I mean, you said the word jackpot. I don't know if there's any other way to say it. Somebody said that one of the best moves Stuttgart was able to make during the transfer window was the transfer window simply closing, and Seiru was still on the team. I mean, I don't know if the golden boot is a legitimate thing, but he's on pace for some amazing stuff this season.
He could, if he can keep this up, and you know, we haven't been playing the cream of the crop aside from Leipzig, but if he can, he just keep the pressure up and keep being a threat, he's going to keep opening avenues for his teammates, and Stuttgart's going to keep putting points on the board. We've got good players who can create good chances. We just need him there as a threat to make that happen. So I'm hopeful that he's loving his time in Stuttgart. He's loving the adoration of the fans. He likes being on a team that he fits in with, that fits well with his capabilities and what he likes to do. And then he decides to stay at least for the season. And then, you know what, if you want to go get paid $1.5 billion, good luck to you, sir. We'll be cheering you on from afar. But I would love to see a full year of Gerassi up front, just demolishing all comers.
Because I like what you said, that not only is he scoring goals, but his passing and his hold-up play is excellent, and you have to cover him. So on that first goal that Chris scored, you notice the defenders were drawn away and giving Chris space because they had to cover Seiru. But then he also had to cover another player that we're going to move on to. It's Angelo Stiller. So we just signed this guy, and you're right, he barely got off the bus from Hoffenheim, where he wasn't really playing. He looked really good. I went back and I watched a couple I went back and tried to watch all the goals again, and he had a lot of what I think you'd be familiar with, hockey assists, where he made passes to guys who were then able to make the actual assist. He had a great hockey pass to Ito, and Ito had a pass into Seiru, and they were able to block it. But then he had the assist to Chris Furich. Then he had the hockey assist to Ito on the third goal. David said this in the OFC comments. It's nice to get that Freiburg monkey off our back. Can we have a newcomer match vote? Stiller would win it hands down. If he can keep this up, it'll go a long way towards comforting the loss of Endo. Jens said, you know, Endo did a lot for us, but that chapter's over, so it's time to move on. We have Stiller. He was fantastic in this game. If we keep this up, it's going to be a great deal for both him and for us. Let's talk Angelo Stiller just for a second. He's one of the newcomers along with Nubel, Zhang. I don't know if he can replace Endo right away, but I thought he was just quiet. He was calm, like you said. I did notice him a little bit more than you did, but I do agree with you to a point, because there was moments where I couldn't tell who Ito, Stenzel, and Stiller were. based on where the camera angle was.
Mm-hmm.
All played pretty well, and they had some great passes. And Stiller's playing in the back sometimes, and Hiroki is running way up front, playing more offensive. Let's give a little love to Angelo Stiller. He stepped in right away, made an immediate impact, and just was kind of that calming influence in the midfield that I don't know if we've seen even with, and I don't want to go crazy because I always notice Endo, but it was kind of a different style of play. Did you see that? Am I going crazy here?
So I don't think you're crazy. And I think Stiller's a guy that you're, you know, I said he was mostly invisible and that was a good thing. And here's kind of what I mean by that. If you're doing your job right defensively for a lot of stuff, especially as a defensive mid, you're intercepting a ball, you're turning a guy wide, you're directing traffic into teammates. And it's not stuff that shows up on the score sheet. It's not stuff that jumps out on the TV screen, but it makes a huge difference. So it's something that, like an initial watch, I'm doing a lot of ball watching, I'm watching the offense a lot more. If I watch the game again, I would take some time and just look at Stiller and see where he's at, what he's doing, what kind of trouble he's causing. And then I think that's when that guy jumps out at you. But to like a casual fan or somebody, you know, I was watching the game, but I was checking other scores. I had the kids popping in and, you know, what are you doing now? Kind of stuff. So I was not fully engaged in the match from start to finish. So he's not going to jump off the screen to me, but he does seem to be a guy who does a lot of those little things well, which is what we need. And he doesn't have to be Wataru Endo. Endo is a unique talent who did unique things and made tackles on the field that made you go, whoa.
Hmm.
He doesn't have to do that. He can quietly go about his business and be largely invisible to most of the fan base who, you know, maybe don't know to look for the things that he does well. And that'll be awesome. That's kind of what Carazor does.
Mm-hmm.
He's out there quietly going about his business, shutting guys down, playing really, really well. And then occasionally he makes a pass. You go, holy crap, who did that come from? If Stiller's a guy who does that, that's a huge win for us.
Yeah, his quote during the match was, or after the match, quote, it was really cool with the fans. There were goosebumps when they started singing their songs. It was just loud all the time. You felt carried. It was just a lot of fun. You know, a 5-0 win is going to be a lot of fun for a lot of people, but I'm sure coming from Hoffenheim to coming to Stuttgart, and I don't want to rip on Hoffenheim totally, even though that's probably fair for us, but it's a lot quieter, and the Stuttgart is much louder there. The guy who I think may have had a lot of fun, at least that last few minutes, is a guy that we didn't quite understand why he was on the bench, was Enzo Milo. So in the 75th minute, he gets the goal, a really great play from Ada. But it was Mittelstadt who played rabid defense, was able to get the ball, pass it to Ada. Ada got it up to Enzo. Enzo had just a beautiful nutmeg and then just looked gorgeous getting the goal, past the goalkeeper, did a little shimmy there. Let's talk Enzo Milo a little bit. What's up with him on the bench? Has Wu Yang replaced him? Was it just a case of he had some calf problems? Because when Enzo's on the pitch, you can't help but notice him.
So I know he had some injury issues, and we know Wu Yang has history with Honus. So it could be a trust thing with the coach. It could be that Wu Yang maybe is a little more defensively astute than Enzo Milo is, and we want to start the game in more of a defensive posture just to be ready. You know, it could be any number of things, but when the important thing is when Enzo's getting on the field, he's making the most of it. And he's going to make the choice for Honus to start Wu Yang over him a hard one. And that's all you can ask of him right now, is make that a hard choice for your coach. And when you do get on the field, wreak some havoc. And FotMob has a shot map for guys, and you can look at Milo and kind of what sort of madness he was creating. And dude was doing stuff when he was out there. And I'm excited. I would like to see more of him. But I don't really know yet what Honus's overall plan is for the team. And kind of, I don't feel like I have a good enough sense of what Wu Yang's skill set is or what he fully brings. You know, we know Enzo, he's been around for a hot minute. But the other guy you mentioned that I think deserves a little bit of a pat on the back is Mittelstadt. He did come in and was a wrecking ball out there and was just fun. And the word on him was that he was so light that he didn't have the crosses that Sosa does, but you know, nobody has Sosa's crosses. And then all of the other things he did a little bit better than Sosa. And I feel like we saw some of that during the match. His ball handling was good. His defense was better than Sosa's, which, I mean, that's not saying a whole lot, but it was good to see him get some time on the field and start to see what he can do for the team.
I was really surprised that he made the Stenzel sub so early, but I guess at that point we were up, you know, 3-4 goals. So maybe they wanted to give Mittelstadt a chance on the other side. I really liked his grit. You know, I thought his crosses were like, they were just kind of like lasers into the box and hoping for the best. But his defense and his grit, I was really impressed with. And I think what you said before about Enzo, it's going to be really important because we'll talk about this in another segment, but Wu Yang isn't going to be part of the club for about a month because he's going to be playing for, his home country in a tournament over in Asia. So Enzo will probably get a chance to get back on the pitch here pretty quick. So let's do some final thoughts and the reality. So here's, we won 5-0 against Bochum. We lost 5-1 against Leipzig. We won 5-0 against Freiburg. We had four players in kickers player of the week. Seiru was the player of the week. Sebastian Hoeneß, since he took over, is averaging almost 2 points per game, has a goal difference of 40 goals for, 21 against, and I believe has only lost 2 Bundesliga matches in that time period. The other thing is the rest of the table wasn't really a great day for us. Heidenheim had a late draw versus Dortmund. Bremen was blown out by Mainz. Bremen blew out Mainz. Hoffenheim took care of Wolfsburg. Cologne even got a point against Frankfurt. At least, you know, Bayer took care of Darmstadt. But as the day and the weekend ended, we're in third place, Matt. What is this club? Are we the 5-0 team that defeated Freiburg? Are we the 5-1 team that lost to Leipzig? What are we? Where are we? Third place. What's going on?
I'm still not entirely sure, to be totally honest with you. I'm starting to feel like, so Leverkusen's look like an absolute ball of knives to start the season.
They're scary.
Bayern is Bayern. Leipzig is danger, danger, danger. Union looks good, but they just got pounded by Leipzig. So I feel like those teams are pretty clearly your top four. And then you've got a tier that I feel like we fit into with us and Hoffenheim and Wolfsburg and probably Freiburg and maybe Dortmund if they can get their act together. I don't know what's going on there, but there seems like their chaos club, which is normally our role. And maybe Frankfurt. I'm still not sold on Frankfurt at all yet, but I feel like we're in that second thing. So instead of looking at like maybe 13th place is our first place, maybe 7th place is our first place this season. I feel like the good teams are really, really good this year. Mm-hmm. We're not in the really good tier, we're in the good tier, and then there's a lot of teams that are just struggling.
Yeah, we've always kind of broken it down into the top six, middle six, bottom six, and we've always been in the bottom six, you know, right on the cusp, but we've actually never been on the cusp. We've always been that bottom three or four. It's to think that we have the chance to even be in that middle six right now is awesome, and we're not very deep in terms of roster. Like you said, if Ada Karazor isn't there, we don't really have anybody to replace him. And who's going to replace Seiru? I mean, come on, at this point, nobody. So one injury one way or the other and we're in trouble, but a lot of clubs are too. So I don't really want to focus on that. We got 6 points in 3 matches. I don't think we got 6 points in 9 matches, you know, last season. So I think final thoughts is let's just celebrate this moment in random time where we are at the top of the table, even if it's only for the first 3 weeks. We've got the international break to kind of soak it all in instead of be like, oh gosh, you know, who are we going to hire to replace Hoeneß at this point? So my final thoughts, I'm giddy. I'm happy. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, cautiously and foolishly optimistic. that we could maybe have a season where we don't have to worry about match day 34 at this point.
The guys on the field seem to be having fun. Honus seems to be having fun. We're definitely having fun. Mm-hmm. And it's neat to be having a season that's fun when the last couple have been, you know, not that they weren't fun, but stressful at times. And they're, you know, the running joke is how many years are they taking off of our lives and how worth it is that? But it's, yeah, you're absolutely right. Let's enjoy this. Let's take it for what it is. We're in a run of good form. We got some players that fit well together and play well together with a coach who's using them in the ways that seem really, really smart. And it's just, it's fun. Let's have fun with it.
You know, we got some players that are coming and going. Let's move on to that in our next segment, part three, news headlines and questions. All right, Matt, the big question of where in the world is Gil Dias is finally answered. As in part three, we're going to say some goodbyes. Gil has moved to Poland. That's officially announced. He's on a loan, so he's heading to Poland. I'm going to mess this up, but he's been in Portugal. He's been in France. He's been in Spain. He's been in England. He's been in Italy. He's been in Germany. He's now in Poland. I know I'm missing a country there. Gil is gone. We joked on Twitter, his passport has got to be chock full of stamps at this point.
He's got to be on his like third or fourth one since, you know, once it's full, you got to get a new one.
Poor guy. You know what? We've gone the whole episode too without talking about this guy. So let's take a moment to talk about Borna Sosa. So Borna is officially gonzo to Ajax. And this, he gave a very heartfelt goodbye on Twitter. And it was even more heartfelt than I think with Toro's and Dino's goodbye was, because it just kind of rambled a little bit and it went pretty long. And I think it wasn't really planned. It just kind of went. There's a really awesome picture. He's been reunited with Sven Mislintat in Ajax. Nothing but praise to say for the guy. He was here for 5 seasons. He was the elder statesman of the club at this point. Once Wataro and Dinos were gone, he knew it was a matter of time. I'm really glad they were able to make this work. I think we only got between 8 to 10 million, which seems below market. But we've said this before, the market is what the market is. And at this point, that's what it was. Nothing but praise for the guy. Great video that Valpy Twitter put out about his time with the club. His crosses, come on. We will – just things of beauty. Any words, any last thoughts on Borna Sosa? He was with the club the longest of all the guys. What do you got?
I will forever be grateful that we got to see the Sosa to Sasa connection and just how much fun it was to watch those guys and how much fun they had together and how much joy in a couple of pretty dark seasons Borna Sosa brought to the pitch every day. And just that he never quit on us, even the season when he knew he was out the door, the sub time he got, he didn't play great, but he was playing hard. Never had a bad word to say about the club that we saw in English media, at least, or via Google Translate. But just seems like a just solid dude to have on a team. And I'm glad that he's with Sven. I feel like Sven's a guy who can help his coach properly utilize Sosa. And I hope he sees some success and then he keeps getting more time with the Croatian national team, because I think he was really shining with that group and some more talented players than what we necessarily roll out every week. So yeah, hope he has continued success. I got nothing but love for Borna Sosa.
Yeah, 5 years nowadays is an enormous amount of time. So, yeah, nothing but praise. You know, follow Ajax. We'll see how they do. And that's one of the cool things is being able to follow Borna in Ajax, being able to follow Orel in England, Wataro and Sasha, those guys overseas. It's neat that they're not going to Wolfsburg, you know, type of thing, mm-hmm. heading off, which is kind of cool. So nothing but praise to him. It just seemed like it was time to go for both parties at this point. You know, 5 years is a long time. So, hopefully he does really well there. And it's really weird because the last men standing, so of the 2019-2020 season where we were in this Vita Liga, where we kind of rebuilt the whole roster, the only guys left now from that season, when we all really, I think, fell in love again with Val Nischenberg, because we had the plan, we had the way, as it was called, Sven, Reno, all those guys, Bredlow, but he's been linked, you know, to some other clubs, but it looks like he'll be with us through at least the transfer window. Pascal Stenzel, who's playing really well right now. Otta Karazor, who's playing really well right now. Lillian Egloff, who wasn't a big part of that team, who's still on the roster. Roberto Massimo, who is getting a lot of sub time now. And obviously Silas. That's pretty much all, that's all that's left of that 2019 team. It's kind of crazy.
It is wild to think that there's been that much turnover, because it feels like, by and large, the team's been pretty stable from a roster setup. But, you know, we did just have some big guys leave, with Sosa and Dino and Endo. So this was a big exit window for us. And the last couple, I feel like it's been sort of trickling off. It's been a guy or two here and there. It hasn't been a mass exodus, so it didn't feel like holy crap. But yeah, it's when you mentioned that this is what we're left with from that team, it's really draws into contrast, or, you know, makes you think about how much the club has changed.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts, because we actually said this last year when Fabian Vogelmuth and Alexander Verrill came in, that there was going to be we kind of predicted there was going to be a big roster shift when the philosophy of the club changed and the upper management of the club changed. I didn't think it would be this quick, this much change, but yeah. You know, there's been a ton of change here. We've got a number of international players that are heading out. So Hiroki Ito's got Germany, and he's heading out to play for his national team. Silas is going to play. Seiru is going to play. Sergu is going to play, the new defender that we just got. Milosevic, the kid who's our backup striker, is going to play for Serbia. Wu Yang Zhang, though, is the longest. So we mentioned this earlier. At the very least, he's going to be unavailable for match day 4, 5, and 6. He's playing at least 4 or 5 matches for his national team. We play Mainz, Darmstadt, and Cologne during that break, and also Wolfsburg if South Korea advances far in the Asia Cup. So we are going to miss him for at least 3 Bundesliga matches, maybe even longer. That's a pretty big hit, which goes, you know, earlier what we said in the previous segment about it's good that Enzo showed up, because it looks like Wu Yang's not going to be here for basically September.
Well, here, let's play galaxy brain for a minute. It's entirely possible that Honus was trying to get Wu Zhang extra time to help him show what he can do to the national team, to, you know, set him up for success there, make sure he's in fighting shape when he goes for the Asia Cup, and also give Enzo a little bit extra time to recover and ease his way back from that calf injury, knowing that Wu Zhang's going to be gone and Milo is going to be the guy. So this could all be part of the plan. And maybe the idea was that Milo was the guy anyway, but hey, you know, take it easy, rest up, ease your way back in. And while we're at it, we're going to do your teammate a solid, and maybe everybody wins. And, you know, if Milo is really, really playing well, I could see when Wu Zhang comes back that he's the late game sub.
I like that. Is Galaxy Plan a thing the kids are saying now? Because I've not heard that before.
Sure. I'm not with it, Travis. I'm,
I don't know, really.
I'm a middle-aged father. I don't know anything.
I just like Galaxy Plan. Hey, kids, what's your Galaxy Plan this weekend? Let's see what they I know what they'll tell me. All right, we got departures of Endo, departure of Dinos and Sosa. So we got about 50 million that came in, but the additions of Seiru, Stiller, Rualt, Sergu, and Mittelstadt, about 20, 25 million that was extended out. We've got the stadium renovation, the COVID holes, all that stuff. So one of the questions is the team better despite the loss of these stars? And I think it is kind of an interesting headline to put out there, because you and I have always talked about how the Union Berlins and the Freiburgs of the world are always so good because they have a system that is there and the players fit into that system. As opposed to VfB, we've had better valued players in both of those clubs, but we've struggled to figure out a cohesive plan here. I mean, what do you think? Are we somehow better, even though we've lost a number of really high quality guys, because they're fitting into whatever it is Honus is selling?
I think yes. And here's why. I think Matarazzo had a system and a style he wanted to play. And I don't think we quite had the horses to do it all the time. And a big part of that was injury, right? His first 2 years here, we had as many players on the injured list as we did off the injured list. And you know, you can't fault the guy for that. late on in his tenure, we were, you know, once Sosa was gone, really, Matarazzo was big on the Sosa to Sosa connection and get the ball down the wings and then whip it into the box and make stuff happen. And Sosa was really the only guy we had that could do anything with that, either with his head or with his feet. And the other guys that we had who, you know, we were hopeful didn't really quite pan out. So I think what we have now is a more diverse approach where we're not so one-dimensional. And I feel like Honus has come in and sat down and looked at what do I got and what can I do with it? And this is probably the best setup for the guys we have, which is really refreshing instead of him coming in and saying, this is what I like to do. And I'm going to force you all into doing it. And not that Matarazzo necessarily did that, but the roster that he started with and that he would have been planning with was different than the one he got to deploy because of the injuries and the illnesses, was different than the one he ended with. So I don't feel like, I'm not surprised to see him having good success at Hoffenheim. I think he's a good coach and he didn't always get the breaks and, you know, that happens sometimes. But Honus seems to have a real knack for putting guys in positions for success. And the way he's doing that seems to fit the personnel we have right now. And that's, I hate to keep saying it's fun, but man, it's just a lot of fun to see. I'm having fun watching soccer. Travis, this hasn't happened in a while.
I know. Where are we? What are we doing now? It's going to, yeah. Let's go to some hellos here. We've got a new center back, Anthony Arouet from France. He's a central defender. We got him on loan. He's 22 years old, 6'1". Right-footed, he made over 80 appearances for his team, 6 goals, 2 assists. Hello to a kicker survey. They did a survey on the most beautiful kits out there. Unfortunately, according to the kicker survey, Valpe finished 16th ahead of Augsburg and Mainz, but right behind Freiburg and Dortmund finished first. Hello Sunday, this coming Sunday, the annual general meeting at MHP Arena is going to take place for all the members. Can go and vote on some things. It could get pretty saucy there as people express their opinions on Klaus Boat, Alexander Verrill, and the way things have been going with the club. Speaking of the club, there's a possible new sporting director in the works. I really am upset with Hannes for sending this question into us or this comment. The person who may be the new sporting director, rumors have it, his first name is easy to pronounce. It's Yodi. Second name is, oh my goodness, Chadzilexio, which I'm pretty sure was in Guardians of the Galaxy somewhere. But he was the director of football for Germany since 2018. He had a cup of water with Frankfurt, but for the most part has worked for the DFB. Any comments on any of that? And please don't comment on the new sporting director rumor because I can't say his name ever.
I can't either. I applaud you for trying it. I am not going to follow you down that particular trap-ridden trail. Kicker, man, what, you guys on drugs? I get our kit this year is not the most beautiful thing Jaco has ever produced, but given the whole of the work since they have been signed on, I dare you to find another team who has a set of kits that are better looking than what we've rolled out year after year since Jaco replaced Puma. It's been phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And this one's kind of a miss. I'm not real big on it, but I still think 16th is, that's harsh. Behind Freiburg? Come on.
I like the red one. I think the red one is pretty solid, actually.
Freiburg doesn't know what their team colors are.
There is that, too. Yeah. I don't know how much we can add to the general meeting that's going to happen, but, you know, when Sven and Alex parted ways last November and then brought in Bruno and then Alex's well-known inability to communicate very well, they've certainly been helped by the 6 points in three matches. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on the general meeting. I don't know if they're going to vote anybody out of office, if there's going to be any big issues that are going to be presented. As Americans, this is something that we are really, even though we pride ourselves on not knowing much, we really don't know anything about what's going to happen with this. Any thoughts on that at all? Or am I just putting you in a spot that you cannot?
I was thinking about this earlier today when you sent me the notes. It is, winning solves a lot of problems, first of all. So I think people will be less angsty than they would be if we weren't sitting third on the table right now with two huge wins and one spanking from a team that's very, very, very good. So not a lot to complain about from the on-field product at the moment. It has been interesting that over the summer and since the season started, we've seen and heard very little about the chaos in the front office, which could speak to Verrill's ability, PR, marketing sense. Maybe he's convinced everybody to stop fighting in public and fight behind closed doors and have these arguments like civilized adult human beings. I don't know. But I would be surprised if a bunch of the ultras show up real, real mad at the meeting. I would bet that there's going to be some probably pretty stern discussions, some pretty big questions asked, and not very good answers given. But I don't think people will be too wound around the axle about it.
Yeah, from what I've read, the ultras are relatively supportive of Klaus' vote because Klaus is pretty open with them. I do find it interesting that our new philosophy was supposed to be driven around having players who identify with the club and have been with the club for a while, and we've just shipped out a bunch of those players. The financial necessity being what it is, none of us should be too surprised by that. I'm not too excited about somebody coming from the DFB at this point because they've been a bit of a cluster since
Hot Mess Express,
right? So I'm not terribly excited. That seems like a classic Alex Verrill move to get some big name to bring him in and say, hey, look what we're doing. As long as he gets along with Fabian Vogelmuth and Honus, then I guess, you know, that's fine. We haven't had sporting director since Hitzelsberger, so, you know, I guess that's good. I'm interested in see what the general meeting is going to be about. Like you said, winning cures a lot. All of a sudden the Winamax logo looks a little bit easier to stomach, you know? So it'll be interesting to see what happens at that meeting. We got some questions. We got some comments coming up. Good friend Flabby Viking says, no wood chopping this week. Question for the pod. After this, will Chris Furch ever pass the ball again? I mean, I was laughing out loud at how the offensive players were getting angry. Seiru yelled at Wu Yang when Wu Yang took a shot. Silas was staring down Chris Furich even after Chris scored the goal. They didn't want to come off the pitch. They all wanted to score. Silas's reaction was hilarious. Do you think Chris will ever pass the ball again at this point to answer Flabby's question?
Yes, I do. Because I like to think that he's smart enough to realize that part of the reason he's getting the room he's getting is because there's the threat of the pass to Jirasi. So hopefully he does, because if he doesn't, that gravity that Jirasi has is going to start to disappear real fast as soon as Furich gets the ball at his feet. The thing I'm really worried about, before I get to that, it's funny to see like Silas's reaction, and it's fun to see the strikers all, everybody who's got up an opportunity to score a goal wants to get three in. Mm-hmm. Because they recognize the firepower this team has and they want to tap into this magic before it disappears. But my biggest concern is Flabby going to have enough firewood to get through the winter? It's not doing much chopping so far this season.
Oh, that's a great turnaround. I didn't think of that. The more successful this team is, the colder poor Flabby is going to be up in Norway there. Three games is a very small sample size, asks Joe and Mike K. Will this form be the norm for the rest of the season? Was Leipzig that good? Is Freiburg that bad? I mean, we're on pace to score 85 goals at home right now. So let's keep that going. I think, like you said earlier, I don't know what to think of this club. I think we can score goals. I think Honus, to his credit, just like Pellegrino, realizes our strength is in the attack. And so the best offense, or the best defense, I'm sorry, is a good offense. I don't think we're going to have 5 to 6 goals every match, but I'm way more optimistic going into this Mainz match this coming weekend than I would have been, simply because I think we have the ability to put pressure on our opponents and score goals. And even had Alex Neubel given up a goal early in the match against Freiburg, I still think we could have got some points on the board.
Yeah, it's feeling a lot like we're going to punish mediocre and bad defenses pretty severely. Mm. And teams that have good defenses and really good attacks are going to put the squeeze on us. So I don't think this is probably the last 5-goal game we've seen this season. We're going to, you know, there's some real bad teams out there that we have yet to play. And I think this is an unusually bifurcated Bundesliga this year, with a group of really good teams and a group of really, really bad teams. So I think we'll be putting a lot of points on the board, but it's going to come back to earth a little bit.
Yeah, there could be some teams that'll get us there. Josh Jackson doesn't want to hear that. He says, listen, we're clicking on all cylinders. Then Mike asks a question, who is this guy at right back? And what do you do with Pascal Stenzel? Let's give Stenzel some love here. He was subbed out early, but this guy, much maligned for a while, he's playing really well to start the Bundesliga season.
This is the best I've ever seen Pascal Stenzel play. Hard stop. It's great. I love it. I'm worried that he's going to get hurt any second now, or that he's going to remember that he's Pascal Stenzel from last year and the regression to the mean will happen. But right now he's firing on all cylinders, as Josh said, and let's ride that train while we got it.
We've seen some guys like this, like Phil Forster, who played really well in the Zweite Liga and then moved up and just was a shell of himself in the Bundesliga. Mm-hmm. And Pascal seemed to be trending that direction, but it seems like something has flipped with him a little bit to where he's just getting more and more confidence as time goes on here. Speaking of confidence, I am Rob Holloway says, I didn't know how to feel going into the game, and Freiburg often plays well, but I'm going to enjoy this win. Look forward to the next one with the same optimism I had going into the Leipzig match. This is an interesting question. Lamy Velo asks, can we keep Seiru all season if he keeps scoring at this pace? It's crazy because he's got 5 goals now in 3 matches, and that extrapolates out to, I don't know, 35.
A lot
of goals by the January break. He seems to be very comfortable in Stuttgart, but if he has 15 goals by the break, 12 goals by the break, I mean, those Premier League teams are going to come calling, and he's already turned down 2 of them. I mean, if I put the over under at 17 games for Seiru, I don't know. This is going to be a tough one. I just want to enjoy him while he's here. But what do you think? Can we keep him all season long?
So I'm going to put the over, and here's why. I think you sell Gerassi on the idea that you can continue scoring at this pace. And right now you've got 3 or 4 Premier League teams calling for you. And by the end of the season, you're going to have a dozen Premier League teams calling for you. And you can take your pick, and we're going to work together to find the one that you're the most comfortable with, that you want to go to, and we're going to facilitate a transfer that makes you happy because you're our guy. You just got to stick with us to the end of the season. And I think he's a smart guy, and he's been abandoned enough that he would do that and probably get a bigger payday at the end of it anyway, because then he'll have a full Bundesliga season to hang his hat on instead of, you know, 17 games where teams are going to go, well, you know, we're taking a bit of a flyer on you because it's only been a couple months.
It'll be really interesting to what you said before is if he does have these abandonment issues, which we're totally projecting.
100%.
If he does have that comfort level in Stuttgart, I mean, he could be one of those guys who never has to buy a beer for himself ever, or a grappa, or a whiskey, or a wine, mm-hmm. if he's, you know, hanging out with Pellegrino. Could you imagine if we're at the break and we're in 7th place, 6th place, 5th place, something like, let's be totally crazy, right? If he was able to be the guy that got us to postseason, I should say Europa play of some kind. I mean, I follow Cologne a little bit because Jeff is a supporter of them. And Anthony Modeste was a hero there for a long time. And then he decided to leave twice as time went on. But that's kind of gone down. That luster's gone away a bit. But he could be a hero here. So I'm wondering if that's going to kind of play into that a little bit. But you know, as we wrap this up, let's give Tim the last word here. Tim at ShimmyFan75 says, once again, a great game at home. First 3 minutes were a little rough, but Neumel played great. His confidence was in full view. Seiru played great. Furich is rolling. We got to keep Seiru forever now. Best player we've had since Kakao up there. Now we need to put it in a good road performance. That's a great segue, man, as we move on to part four, because we are moving on the road. We're moving on to Mainz. When I say Mainz, what goes through your mind when you think about them? Because I always get a little scared, but we actually have a decent record against them of late. But I'm always a little frightened when we have to play those guys.
Yeah, I don't know why I involuntarily groan when I hear Mainz. It's like, this is not going to end well for us. I don't know why. It's ended well for us recently, as you said. But
I know there's a great book out there. I think it's Bringing the Noise about Jurgen Klopp and his time with Mainz. And if you get a chance to read it, just it's an awesome take on what football was, not take, but look at what football was like in Germany in the 90s and how unglamorous the second division was. And even to a certain extent, the Bundesliga was. But you're right. It's like they just seem to have this aura about them. But we are 4 wins and 2 draws in our last 6 against them. We have 14 wins, 12 losses all time. We were 1 win, 1 draw last season. We were 1-1 result at home in Bruno's debut. Seiru scored, of course. And then we won 4-1. And they were just crushed by Bremen, which I was really surprised about. They were down 3. They were down 1 goal early, 3 minutes in, and then they were rolled in the second. They've got 1 point on the season?
Yeah, they drew their second match, and they've had a couple of bad losses. Anytime Werder Bremen's putting up 4 goals on you, things are not going your way. And then a 1-1 draw against a red-carded Eintracht team, who we mentioned earlier, we're not sure if they're any good this year. And then Union beat them 4-1. So I think Mainz is maybe bad this year.
Here's fingers crossed. I mean, I would love to see this 6-game streak turn into a 7-game streak where we get, you know, 7 results and move it up to 5 wins instead of 4. What do you think the odds makers have this one at? And then what is your prediction going into this one on the road?
So we're on the road, but we're third and they're 17th. I'm going to say they're giving Stuttgart 0.5 goal.
This is a pick'em. It's a straight up. You nailed 2 okay. in a row. So this is your first off one in a while, but it makes sense there. I'll start and I'll let you wrap this up. I was pessimistic last week. I thought we would at least get a point. You know, that's why I took Freiburg in that one with the points. They were getting 0.5 goal in this one. This one's a straight up pick'em. Mainz is playing poorly. We're playing well. This is actually in 2 weeks. So it's not actually next week, as I alluded to. We've got the international break right now. So it's in 2 weeks. If our guys come back healthy from the international break, which is key for every club, I like our chances in this one. Like I'm just, there's a level of confidence simply because our offense is so strong right now. And outside of that one half against Leipzig, this club has put 5 really good halves together in 6 opportunities. So I'm going to take Stuttgart in this one. I think we let up a goal because Mainz at home, but I like a 3-1 result for the good guys in this one. 2 weeks from now, what do you think?
I think that sounds totally reasonable. I think Mainz is historically a well-coached, well-organized club. I don't think they're going to be as bad as they are right now for the whole season, but I also don't think playing a on-fire Stuttgart team is a good time to get up off the mat. So I like the 3-1. I could see 3-1 or 2-0. Neubel's playing real well. Get the defense a little bit better organized over the break. I like a 2-goal Stuttgart win.
Ooh, Matt and Travis both predicting victory in this one. So, whew, I don't know. Should people be worried?
Probably.
Yeah, most likely. We apologize, Sebastian. This is on us this week. All right, Matt, thanks so much for joining me. We'll talk to you. Hey, enjoy your weekend off next week.
I feel like we should pretend to do this anyway.
I don't want to talk to you unless it's on company time.
Bye. That's fair.
All right, everybody. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks, hopefully after another big 5-0 Stuttgart win. Matt, thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you then.
Thanks, Travis.